Welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future, the live local show that's all about the issues of aging. This is going to be a really good show today. I don't know if I've ever really talked about this in depth in 18 years of doing the radio, but we're going to talk about two subjects today that I think you'll find interesting. We'll get to those in a second. Again, welcome to Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano, doing this for a really, really long time. Remember a couple things I have to get out of the way, especially based on what what I'm going to talk about today. Remember, I'm not an attorney. I don't practice law. I don't give legal advice. If you want legal advice, you should consult an attorney, preferably one that knows what the heck they're talking about. I have a California insurance license, a legal document assistant license, which allows me to prepare legal documents at your direction and request. What else? I'm not securities licensed. I don't want to be. I'm not a tax expert. I don't want to be. And there's probably three or four other things, but let's encompass them all in this statement. Everything we talk about here is my opinion only and should not be taken as any form of legal, tax, or other advice. If you want other advice, go consult somebody else with other advice. I have to say all that kind of stuff because somewhere there's a regulation that says I have to say all that stuff, and so I've said all that stuff. We're going to talk about some really interesting things today. Let me tell you how you can contact me and some of the resources that are available to me. I hope you got a chance to see me on Sacramento Channel 40, Fox 40 this week. I did a little segment on there. You can go to my website and see that, or YouTube, or you can, better yet, go to fox40.com and look up my interview with Paul Robbins on that show this week. Go to their website, Google Assets and Aging, and you can see the little segment I did on their show. I have some other stuff coming up in the next couple weeks. I'll keep you informed on lots of things happening, lots of stuff going on, and lots of stuff to talk about. How do you get a hold of me? Well, simple. You can always call me at my office. My office number is 800-999-8007. Again, that's 800-999-8007. Or better yet, you can go to my website if you have a computer or a smartphone by simply going to assetsandaging.com. That's assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and A-N-D, aging, aging.com, assetsandaging.com. When you go there, you can get information, you can sign up for an upcoming workshop, you can sign up for my newsletter, you can listen to my podcast every Wednesday at noon. I do a live podcast. You can listen to my archived radio shows. You can listen to all kinds of stuff and get all kinds of information. You can send me an email. You can ask me a question, and those kinds of things. So, by the way, if there's ever a question or an issue you would want to like to have discussed on the radio or on my podcast, let me know. There's a lot of changes coming in the VA. There's a lot of changes coming with Medi-Cal, but that's not my subject for the day. And this is a subject that I'm going to start out under the category of, at my next workshop, one of the things I'm going to spend time talking about is the subject of you've been lied to. And you've been lied to about so many things. You've been lied to about Medi-Cal and VA benefits and spend down, and you can't gift and you can't have money, and you do this and do that and do that. And you've been told so many stories, it's staggering. I had another person come in this week with one of these. They went to one of these trust seminars at wherever it was that are advertised in the paper for $299. And I can't use the word, folks, for what they have. The attorneys were in L.A., but now they're not in L.A. They've transferred it to another set of attorneys in San Diego who they've never met. And it's not at all what they wanted or what they thought they were going to do or anything else. So when it comes to our two subjects today, I will guarantee you, you have got more misinformation than you can stand. And again, before I get into them, I want to say again, remember, this is my opinion only and should not be taken as any form of legal advice. I am not an attorney. I am a legal document assistant, which my license is recorded in Sacramento County, and I am licensed to prepare legal documents at your direction and request. But we're going to talk about two subjects today that you think you know about. And they are probate and conservatorships. And you've heard all kinds of things about both of them. And I'm going to give you some information that I'll guarantee you, you probably don't have. Or you've probably never thought about. Anywhere, at any time, you haven't been confronted with it. So first of all, let's talk about, in the first half hour, let's talk about probate. What is probate? Why do we go through probate? Well, this is my own description of probate. It's not a legal description. It's not intended to be. But when you're alive, you own stuff. You own your house. You own your rental. You own the money in your bank account. You own the money in your brokerage account. You have title to what you have. On your house, the title is referenced by a deed. You have a deed that says you and Mildred, or whoever it is, have title to this house. Now, normally, a couple, if they have title to a house, they probably have it as joint tenants. So it's John and Mildred Smith as joint tenants. And everybody says, well, Bob, we don't have to worry about probate. Well, why is there probate? And let's talk about why you may need to worry about probate big time. More than you ever thought. And that is, when you die, you owned your house, you owned your bank account. When you died, the title holder died. So John and Mary had title to their house. John and Mary died. They don't have title anymore. Well, Bob, they have a will. I know, we're going to get to that in a minute. Oh, Bob, they have a trust. We're going to get to that in a minute. But the reason there's probate is because the title holders died. Now, who are the new title holders? Well, John and Mary had three lovely children, Manny, Moe, and Jack. And they wanted Manny, Moe, and Jack to have that property, and they put that in their will. In their will, they said, we want Manny, Moe, and Jack to have our house. Let's just use a house for a minute. The problem is that they're dead. They can't give the house to Manny, Moe, and Jack, and the will doesn't transfer title to Manny, Moe, and Jack. It doesn't transfer title to Manny. A will is a letter to a judge that says, this is my own short version, this is not the legal version, but says, I used to own this stuff. If it's okay with you, Your Honor, would you transfer it to my three children, Manny, Moe, and Jack? And there's a whole process they have to go through. And hopefully at the end of that process, the judge bangs his little gavel and says, no problem, I transfer title to the house to Manny, Moe, and Jack. And that's usually what would happen. There's no guarantee that that would happen. That's assuming no contests and nobody challenges the trust, or the deed wasn't done wrong, or one of the kids didn't die in the meantime, or become. Now, we're just assuming the best here. So there was a probate because the title holder died, and we don't know who the new title holder is. And that would be true of the bank accounts. Now, normally, if you're married, on the first death, there's no probate because you owned it as joint tenants, the house, and dad died, so it went to mom. The problem comes on the second death or if you're single. And again, we went to probate because the title holder died and we don't know who the new owner is. And contrary to popular opinion, a will does not transfer ownership. A will is a letter of request to a judge, which is, Your Honor, I used to own all this stuff. If it's okay with you at the end of probate, would you give it to my three kids or to whoever your heirs are? That's basically why there's probate, is because the title holder died and we don't know who the new title holder is. Now, How expensive is probate? Who goes through probate? Are there different kinds of probate? Yeah, there are basically two kinds. There's a simple one, and that is if your estate, that's everything, your house, your money, your furniture, your cars, if everything you have is worth less than $150,000 or less. Then there's the other more formal kind of longer probate, more expensive probate, that if you have property, not just real estate, but all property, money, whatever, of more than $150,000, and that's the one we're going to focus on, because most people, if they own a house, even people that have a mobile home and money may have an estate of more than $150,000. And so how much does it cost? Well, this is from a table done by an attorney. I'm not going to tell you the attorney, but the probate fees are statutory, which means they're fixed by law, except there's something called extraordinary fees, which are like extra fees. But hang on to that. So this attorney did a rough table, and here's what this attorney said. If you have an estate worth $400,000, that would include your house, your money, your furniture, everything. You have an estate worth $400,000, your approximate probate fees, that would be attorney's fees and executor's fees, would be about $22,000. That's approximately. That doesn't include accounting fees or paying for a tax return or hiring an investigator to track down lost accounts or extraordinary fees like copy costs and travel time for the attorney or whatever else there is. That's the basic fees. So on a $500,000 estate, that would be everything. That's the house and the money and everything. We would be looking at somewhere in the neighborhood of $22,000. Now, if you have $1 million estate, again, a house, so let's say you got a house and a rental and some money in the bank, you could easily have $1 million estate. Now, I know people don't think of themselves as millionaires, but if you live in a $400,000 house and you have a $300,000 rental and you have some money in the bank, you could easily have $1 million estate. Well, the probate fees, the estimated fees charged by an attorney and the executor, not counting extraordinary fees or extra stuff, is $46,000. Those fees are fixed by statute, folks. There's a formula in what percentage of the estate, depending on its size and all. So that's about what you're looking at. If your family has to go through probate, even a $150,000 estate or more, if you have a $155,000 estate, you're looking at about $11,000 in fees and attorney's fees, and so it's expensive. Now, how long does it last? Well, I'm going to read you something in a minute that will talk about that. Okay, because I'm going to go to another source in just a second. Okay? What else can happen? Well, sometimes a will doesn't protect heirs or minor children. For instance, I see this all the time, and elder law attorneys see this all the time. Grandma loves her two children, and grandma has a grandchild. And the grandchild is a special needs child. And grandma wants her granddaughter to have some money, but the granddaughter, who is maybe a minor, maybe 20 years old, gets government benefits. But grandma leaves that grandchild an inheritance in her will. That inheritance, after it goes through probate, could make the grandchild, or one of the children even, ineligible for government assistance and government help or government health care. So that's one of the things that people don't ever think about. By the way, a will is public. You can go down. I can go down today. I have to pay for it, but I can go down and I can get the will, open the wills on almost every probate going on in Sacramento County or any county in the state of California. It's public record. You can find out what they died of. You can find out who they owed money to. You can get the names of their kids and grandkids or any potential heirs. It's public record. In California, when you die, the will is supposed to be filed within 30 days at the county, at the county recorder's office, county courthouse. Therefore, you can look up the will. You can find out that they didn't like their son, Johnny. And by the way, here's the best part. There are companies that research this and sell the information to people. So they now know that your children are all going to come into an inheritance. They sell that information to a bank or a financial institution, and the kids are getting a knock on the door or a letter that says, by the way, we understand you're about to come into some money. Can we help you invest it? Wills don't have anything to do with conservatorships, which we'll talk about in a little while. They don't avoid conservatorships. That's a whole different story. Wills don't do any good for us while we're alive. They don't help. Remember that will and probate begins when you're dead. So wills and probate can be expensive. They can be time-consuming, which I found out in a minute. I'm going to read you some other information about that in a minute. And some of you are saying, well, Bob, I have a revocable living trust, so it won't go through probate. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Trust can be challenged. If something isn't put in the trust because you forgot about it, so, for instance, I've seen people that had a house that was in the trust, but then they went and bought a rental and didn't put that in the trust, and therefore the pour-over will that came with the trust went through probate. I've seen that happen with bank accounts that were not put in the trust. So simply having a trust doesn't mean you've avoided probate if it hasn't been correctly funded. Now, I want to go one other place that you can go to so that you know I'm not making this stuff up. Okay, let's see. I got to find the right forms here. Oh, that's conservatorships. So we're going to talk about. Okay, so you can go to this website and you can look all this stuff up that I'm going to talk about so that you don't think I'm making it up, because I don't like to make stuff up. By the way, if you have questions about this and you're not sure, give me a call. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. If you're not sure, maybe we can figure it out. And if I can't figure it out, I can get you to people smarter than me who can figure it out. This is from the Judicial Branch of California. And the website is courts.ca.gov. And you can go there and just put in the search, probate. And you will get these pages. So the pages I'm going to read to you stuff from are actually from the Judicial Branch of California, courts.ca.gov. I didn't make this up. I'm not reading it. It's not somebody's opinion. So let me read you what the Judicial Branch has to say about probate. And I'm going to read from this. Probate means that there is a court case that deals with, so let's stop right there. Probate is a court action, folks. It's a court action. You are now in court with a probate. Well, Bob, I don't have a will, therefore there won't be. Same thing. If you have an estate worth more than $150,000, it's going through probate. Only now it's called an intestate probate. That means no will. Now the court is going to write one for you. It's a court action. Probate is a court action. Now, can you handle a probate yourself? I don't know. I wouldn't try it. But I know there are people who have done simple ones. But most people hire an attorney and the process begins. So let's see. It says, again, I'm reading from the courts.ca.gov, their information on probate. And it says, probate means that there's a court case that deals with transferring the property of someone who has died to the heirs or beneficiaries. So remember, the will doesn't transfer anything to your kids. The court is going to transfer things to your kids. So you will now need the court's permission in the probate to transfer the assets to your kids or to whoever your heirs are. Might be a charity, might be your nephew. I'm just using kids, so don't get hung up on that. The court will also decide if the will is valid. Well, Bob, I got it off the internet. Of course it's valid. Well, maybe, maybe not. I've seen people with 2, 3, 4 wills. Which one of them is valid? Because things change, and so they go do a new will. And sometimes the new will doesn't get rid of the old will. So the court is going to decide if your will is valid. Well, Bob, an attorney wrote it. It'll probably be valid, but the court's going to decide if it's valid. And the court is going to decide in probate to take care of the financial responsibilities of the person who died. That is, paying their debts, paying any outstanding obligations, paying the rent, making the mortgage payments if they had to, liquidating their assets, selling their house, closing out their bank accounts. The court is going to manage all of that. Then I'm reading now directly from this information from courts.ca.gov. And I did this on purpose. I didn't want to read it out of a book or something where it was someone's opinion. I wanted to read this directly from this website, which is the judicial branch of California. In a probate case, an executor, if there is a will, or an administrator, if there is no will, is appointed by the court. Now, everybody says, well, I named my son as my executor. Well, maybe the court will appoint your son. But if the court doesn't think that the person you pick to be executor is a good idea, the court's not bound to follow that. They don't have to. The court will appoint a personal representative or an executor to collect the assets, pay the debts and expenses, and then distribute the remainder of the estate to the beneficiaries, all under the supervision of the court. The entire case can take between 9 months to 1.5 years, maybe even longer. I have a good friend who has been on this show before, who is an elder law attorney, who once had a probate because there was a contest that went on for 8 years. I don't even want to tell you how much the fees were. So my point in talking about probate is it's not I've got a will, so it's all taken care of. No, it's not. You're going to court. If you have a will and your estate's worth more than $150,000, you're going to court. Actually, your heirs are going to court. And you're making everything you have public record. And if you don't have a will, you're still going to court. Why? Because the title to what you have died when you died. Now who's the new owner? I'm not telling you to avoid probate or not avoid probate. I can't make that decision for you. But it seems silly to me. It just seems silly to me to put my heirs and the people that I love through a court process because I'm too proud, too stubborn, or too cheap to do the things that I need to do to make sure that that doesn't happen to the people that I love. And challenging a will is really a very simple process, by the way. But why? Because it's already in court. I don't have to get it there. It's already in court. So probates are not this little simple thing where you go down and you fill out a one-page form and your kids just take possession of everything. It is a court process that, according to the California courts, will take a minimum of 9 months and up to a year and a half on average. You have a choice. You can avoid all of this. You don't have to go through this court process, but you have to make the decision to do something about it. take a minute during the commercial break that's going to come up here in a second and give me a call and set up a time when we can sit down and talk about this and make sure that this doesn't happen to you, your family, your parents who won't pay attention to it, your grandmother who doesn't want to talk about it. Make sure you're prepared to stay out of court when you die. It's much more efficient to take the easy road than this road. 800-999-8007, or you can email me at bob@assetsandaging.com. Don't go away. We'll be back in a second. We're going to talk about conservatorships. You think probates are bad? Wait until we talk about conservatorships. 800-999-8007. Give me a call. We'll be back in just a few minutes right after the break here on Assets and Aging, Affording the Future. Welcome back to Assets and Aging. We just finished Affording the Future. I'm your host, Bob Scrivano. Remember, I'm not an attorney, don't practice law. Don't give legal advice. We just finished talking about probate. I want to add one more thing. When you go to that website, www.courts.ca.gov, and you look up the information on probate, you can also look up the forms that you need for probate. And the forms for probate are 1-2 pages long is the list of forms that are needed in a probate. No, I'm not making that up. All right. Contact information. Assetsandaging.com. Assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and A-N-D, aging, A-G-I-N-G, assetsandaging.com. Or you can call me at 800-999-8007. If you don't want to be a victim, if you don't want to be lied to about all this stuff, come and find out how you can avoid probate. And the next thing that I'm going to talk about, which is one of the most worstest things you can ever go through or put somebody through. And yes, I know I use that phrase. I also get to one of my workshops. I'll be talking about this at length at my upcoming workshop. You can go to my website, assetsandaging.com, and you can sign up for one of my workshops. Okay, we talked about probate a little bit. I want to talk about conservatorships. Every elder law attorney I know of does conservatorships. And every elder law attorney, I do not do conservatorships. I'm licensed to do them, but I don't do them because I don't want anything to do with them. They're nasty. They're ugly. Conservatorships are a result of people completely failing to plan. I mean, completely failing to plan. That's why there are conservatorships. Everybody thinks a conservatorship is a simple thing. If you asked every elder law attorney I know on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being good and 10 being bad, how bad is a conservatorship, they'll tell you it's a 14. They'll tell you it's like brushing your teeth with a wire brush or shampooing your head with a wire brush. It's bad. Now, I'm going to read you some stuff from the same webpage that I talked about earlier. And that is, it's courts.ca.gov. This is information from the judicial branch, the California courts, the judicial branch of California. It's from their website. I'm not making this up. By the way, remember I told you there were 2 pages of forms for a probate? For a conservatorship, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different pages of forms for a conservatorship. Why is there a conservatorship? Let me read. I'm reading from the Judicial Branch of California website. A conservatorship is a court case. Here we go again. A conservatorship, you have to go to court. It's court. Remember, everything I'm talking about here is my opinion only, and should not. But I'm reading it to you. A conservatorship is a court case where a judge appoints a responsible person or organization, because there are professional conservators, to care for another adult who cannot care for himself or herself or manage his or her own finances. And I can't tell you how bad it is. I've heard so many horror stories from attorneys for 20 years on conservatorships, I wouldn't even know where to begin. I can tell you one conservatorship I know of where not only were the children not awarded the conservatorship, the new spouse who tried to divorce the spouse in the nursing home was awarded the conservatorship. Not the children. It's a court case. Now, let me read you some stuff. There's different kinds. This talks about the different kinds of conservatorships, because there's a conservatorship of the person, there's a conservatorship of the finances, and there's one for both. So, why are we doing a conservatorship? Because mom got sick, mom developed dementia, mom had a psychotic episode, and we find out we don't have any rights over mom. And all of a sudden, the family is in court trying to do a conservatorship. Now, sometimes, don't let me get ahead of myself. Let me read this to you. The duties of a conservator of the person are, remember, all of this is under court direction, to make arrangements for that person's meals, health care, clothing, personal care, housekeeping, transportation, shelter, recreation, and well-being, and then get approval from the court for certain decisions about the conservatee's health care or living arrangements, report to the court on the conservatee's current status. So for the rest of this person's life, they will be under the supervision of the court. It's a court action. And all of it would, now understand, I'll be my mom's conservator. Remember, you're going to have an attorney. The court is going to appoint an investigator to make sure everything's okay. You're going to have to file accountings regularly with the court. So when you try to take care of your mom, which you're thinking about doing, or your grandma, or whoever it is, under a conservatorship, remember, it's all being done under the control of a court action, because a conservatorship is a court action. It's not something you just go down and file a one-page form and say, okay, I'm now in charge of my mom. No. The duties of a conservator of the estate are to manage the person's finances, to locate and take control of all assets. What if you don't know where all the assets are? Then you're going to have to hire an investigator under the control of the court to find out, to collect all of that person's income. What if you don't know where that person's income is? To make a budget and present it to the court and show what the person can afford, to pay that person's bills, to responsibly invest that person's money under the control of the court, to protect that person's assets, to account to the court and to the conservatee for the management of the conservatee's assets. Now listen to this. This is the best part of all. I hope you've figured out right now that on a scale of 1 to 10, you don't want a conservatorship. Well, Bob, how do I avoid one? What if my mom won't listen to me? How do I, what do I do? We'll get there. Who can file for a conservatorship? Now, here's a point where I wish I had 6 elder law attorneys in the room, because they would tell you stories that you would not believe. If I tell them to you, you wouldn't believe me because I wasn't there. But who can file for a conservatorship? The spouse or domestic partner of that person. So if your husband's uncontrollable, the wife can file for a conservatorship or vice versa. A relative of the proposed conservatee, a child, an uncle, an aunt, a cousin, who thinks that that person is a danger to themselves. So let me give you an example, because I have seen this happen, and so have lots of elder law attorneys. Mom and dad, mom can't take care of dad. Dad is completely whatever, he's not there, but mom can't overpower him, can't deal with him. And we have one of the children go file for a conservatorship over their parents' objections because neither parent will be responsible for themselves. If you don't believe that happens, go hang out every week when conservatorships are being heard and downtown in Superior Court. Go hang out. Listen to this. Who can file a conservatorship? And any interested state or local entity or agency. So if mom falls at home and the fire department comes and mom is living in a pigsty, they're mandated reporters. They will report it to Adult Protective Services, and Adult Protective Services can file for an emergency conservatorship and take control of that person away from their family. If you don't believe that happens, do a little reading. It happens. I would say conservatively, no pun intended, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times every year. I was in a nursing home once, and I won't tell you what city, but 98% of the people in that nursing home were homeless, and almost all of them were being managed under a public conservatorship. In other words, they were under the control of the court. They had been taken away from their families and placed in a nursing home for their own protection. Any other interested person or friend? Now stop and think about that for a minute. So who can file for a conservatorship? The spouse, a relative, any interested state or local entity or agency, and any other interested person or friend. Now, here's the order of preference listed. So normally, the court would try to appoint the following people in this order: a spouse or domestic partner, an adult child, a parent, a sibling, any other person the law says is okay, and then and or a public guardian. If the person closest to the top of the list does not want to be the conservator, he or she can nominate someone else. In the end, regardless of the order of preference I'm reading, the selection of the conservator is up to the judge. And the judge makes this decision by considering the best interest of the proposed conservatee. Now, I want to read you the following stuff. Bob, that sounds really bad. How do we avoid a conservatorship? I don't want a conservatorship. I don't ever want to be conserved. I don't want anybody ever conserving me. I don't want my mom or dad to be conserved. Okay, here again is what courts.ca.gov, which is the website of the California courts, the judicial branch of California, says. Some alternatives to a conservatorship. Now, for those of you who have been too cheap, or you're just sitting on the back bench thinking it's never going to happen to you, by the way, these are also public record in most cases. Here's what the courts say is the alternative to a conservatorship. Some alternatives to a conservatorship: an advanced health care directive. Well, Bob, I'm going to get around to that someday. You know, I'm going to come and see you someday and I'll get around to that someday. But in the meantime, I don't have to worry about it because I'll never get sick and I'll never have to worry about this. And I'll just take, my kids will just take care of me. And no, they won't. Not unless you've said you wanted them to take care of you. So what are some of the alternatives to a conservative and advanced health care directive? What's another one? A power of attorney. A power of attorney for finance, sometimes called a durable power of attorney for finance. So again, so what are some alternatives? Well, here's two of them. An advanced health care directive or a power and or a power of attorney for finance. What's the third alternative given? A living trust. Well, Bob, I don't need all, you know, I got a will that, you know, my estate's worth less than $600,000, and I was told if your estate's worth less than $600,000, there's no probate. You already found out that's a lie. And a conservatorship can't be that bad because, you know, the court would just appoint my son and blah, 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 and you just found out that that's not true either. And we haven't even talked about the cost of a conservatorship because the court is going to appoint an attorney for the person being conserved, and the person asking for the conservatorship is going to have an attorney. So how much money do we already think we're up to? Not to mention doctors giving their reports, investigators finding out what that person had. So how much do you think at the end of the day a conservatorship costs in real money, not just in time and emotional damage and all that other stuff? In addition, how hard would it be? What if your mother has some capability left and you're in court having her conserved? How does that impact your mother? And again, if I had elder law attorneys here, they would tell you that a lot of conservatorships are over family fights. Because two of the children think mom, one thing should be done for mom, and one of the children, for whatever reason, doesn't like that idea, and they're going to go do a conservatorship. And now, if you think you had a family fight before, what kind of family fight do you have now? I don't know. You tell me. You're going to have to decide what kind of family fight is now going to break out as a result of the fact that we had to go do a conservatorship because the family couldn't get along. When doing some simple documents, when taking the time to come see me and getting some stuff done would avoid all of this. So you've been told that a conservatorship's not a big thing. You've been told probate's not a big thing. You've been told if you have less than $600,000 in assets, or if you have less than $5 million in assets, there's no probate. You've been told that a trust can never go through probate. You've been told all kinds of things. And hopefully you've discovered, for instance, I recently saw a trust done by a trust mill in which the house had not been transferred correctly into the trust. Today, I saw a life insurance policy in which the beneficiary had been made a trust, but they had the wrong name for the trust. So what do you think is going to happen to that insurance policy when the insurance company won't pay out to the trust because the insurance agent put on there the wrong name for the trust? You need to make sure that you've taken the time, gone to the effort, and done the things necessary to make sure, to make absolute sure, that you're not going to lose everything because of a conservatorship. Not everything, but it's going to cost a lot of money, become public record, and open your estate and your family up to that kind of scrutiny. Give me a call, set up, well, Bob, you know, I can go online and I can get a will. That's right. You're now going to do a court action because you have a will. No, I was told wills avoid probate. Well, that's not correct. It's simply not correct. It is. I can't tell you how not correct is. Well, I can. I've been to a seminar and I can get it done for $399, and a nice attorney is going to draw. Yeah, you'll never see the attorney because the attorney's in San Diego, or in Los Angeles, or in Burbank, or somewhere. Simply having something is not enough. It has to be done correctly. It has to apply to you. It can't be boilerplate. Somebody has to ask you questions that you've probably never been asked before. Like, do you know what kind of treatment there is for a mobile home under probate? There's actually preferential treatment for a mobile home if you have a mobile. Did you know that? Did anybody tell you that? I'm telling you that. There are some. What about your IRA? Does it go through probate? I hope not. What about your 401k? What have you done with that? How have you titled that? How have you named the beneficiaries? Have you set that up in such a way that it's going to go? I can't tell you how many IRAs I've seen where the beneficiary to the IRA is the estate of John Doe. You need to make sure that when things begin to go south, either through death or disability or frailty, that what you have is going to work and is going to allow, and this is the most important part, and is going to allow the person that you trust and the person that you love to manage your affairs without having to do it under the supervision of a court. An expensive process, a long drawn out process. It's important that you understand how probate works and what it is and why you want to avoid it and make sure that you have, and what a conservatorship is and how awful it is, and make sure that you've taken steps that if you ever needed a conservator, you won't need one. That you've taken steps to do the things necessary to make sure that in your life, that will not become an issue. Both of those things are unbelievably important. Now, at the next workshop, you can go to my website, assetsandaging.com. Assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, and A-N-D. Aging, aging.com, and you can scroll down and you can find my next workshop and you can see when it is and you can sign up. You can also call me if you don't have access to the web. Just call my 800 number, 800-999-8007, 800-999-8007. It's simple. Even I can do it. Listen to my podcasts. Listen to my radio shows. They're archived on my webpage. Get information. Sign up for my email newsletter list. It's free right now. Send me an email with a question, or you can sign up for an appointment. Or you can become a victim believing that it's all going to be okay, that it won't matter. And by the way, in all the years I've been doing this, I've never seen a conservatorship in which someone was in a nursing home in which the court allowed assets to be protected. Not once. It may have happened. I'm not saying it never happens. I'm saying I've never seen it, and the elder law attorneys I use have never seen it. As a result, assets got spent and lost. It's simple. Make sure you've thought it through. If you've been putting it off, please stop. Please stop. You're never going to be healthier than you are today. You're never going to be smarter than you are today, unless you're 12. Then you'll probably get smarter, but not necessarily. We're all going to become more frail. We're all going to lose independence. We're all going to need somebody to take care of us. Make sure that you've picked who you want that person to be. And if you're single, oh my lands, it's even more important. It's even more important as to who you pick and why you pick them. 800-999-8007. Stop making excuses about the cost and, you know, I don't have the time right now. I've got to have my toenails buffed this Tuesday and my schedule's just really busy. Find the time to make a difference in your life and in your spouse's life and in your children's life, because you do not want to condemn your children to have to be in a court action for a year or a year and a half because you didn't want to make decisions today and you didn't want to take the time and spend a little money to do all this today. Take the opportunity you have today to begin to make a difference in your life or in your children's lives or whoever's lives. Do this as a gift to your children for Christmas and make sure they never wind up in a court action protecting your life. 800-999-8007. 800-999-8007. Assetsandaging.com. Assets, A-S-S-E-T-S, A-N-D, and assetsandaging.com. This is Bob Scrivano, your host here on Assets and Aging. We'll see you here next week. Take a look at the website. Listen to my podcast every Wednesday and right here every Sunday on Assets and Aging, Affording the Future.